This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. Have you ever started on a two-person job and then you do it by yourself? You could stop or you could keep going and have a go. That's what I did. I kind of managed, but it was not as good. But some of these jobs are definitely two-people jobs. Some of the ones, you can get away with it, but there's a line. You've got to watch where that line is and have you crossed it, where you need to go, okay, I'm just going to wait. I can't do this by myself. Because it's difficult sometimes. And, well, I was doing some shearing. It wasn't full-scale shearing. This was just trimming the fringe and the area around the eyes of Saren. Saren is a lovely girl. She's got this beautiful brown markings on her eyebrows and the bases of her ear and that kind of stuff. It was a bit of a challenge. I was trying to do this single-handed. Really, it was a two-person job. She's fairly feisty. I managed to contain her and hold her, and I managed to trim on one side. It's very careful. These are not the full shears. It's just the kind of smaller Heinegger portable, rechargeable, and really good for trimming around the face and around eyes and things like that. So, yeah, so I was doing that, but I was doing it by myself. And it really was a two-person job. So one side got done well enough anyway. The other side, I couldn't really get to. I could hold her in position, but then I've got to be left-handed at this point, and I wasn't. I didn't trust myself to do so close to the eye left-handed. So I did what I could, which wasn't very much, and then I stopped. So she's half done. We might be able to get her soon. I both having a go at some point tomorrow. We'll just tidy that up, and any others that we can contain. I mean, she was inside the stable, so I just closed the doors and was able to have a go. I was planning on it. I noticed yesterday, and I thought I would have a go, and it worked okay. But no, some jobs are just two-person jobs. Know the difference and stop when you need to, which is what I did, even if she looks a little bit strange with half a head. So spring continues to arrive beautifully. Some real lush green on the trees, and the grass is shifting and the weeds are growing. So we've cut some stuff back, and it's amazing. The geese. Now, the geese have arrived. The eggs have hatched. There was a bit of a kerfuffle. Lovely word. And there was all of that. And the eggs hatched. And we ended up with four definites. So this is Alberta and Edmonton. And they're doing really well. And they're growing on. Now, a few days later, well, half a week, a bit longer, there was a sudden arrival. Well, actually, it was three, and then she went back and sat on the eggs and got the fourth to hatch. And there was another egg there, but we'd lost that one. I think I talked about that last time. So then, all of a sudden, I heard some noises. I was hearing geese calling in the trees and thought that was a bit odd. I thought I might need to go investigate. It sounded like they were down in a place where it would be difficult. So I thought, I'd try to work out, what do I do to rescue these poor geese that might be in the wrong place? And before I could get there, discovered that there was another pair of geese had appeared with three youngsters. They were probably about a week or more older than family number one. So Alberta and Edmonton, family number one. And the other family turned up, and they've got their geese goslings. They've got their goslings, three of them, bigger, doing well. They gave each other a bit of a wide berth for quite some time. They're still keeping a respectful distance from each other, but they're much more likely to be in the same place, either in the goose yard or on the bank of the lake. near the alpacas. So that's amazing. It's been fascinating watching them do the things that they do. There was a bit of dibbling training. Dibbling being upending and sticking your head down and taking stuff off the bottom of the lake. Right at the far end, near the sandbar. And there would seem to be some dibbling training going on. So they obviously are older hands in the valley. They have been here before. They know the alpacas. They're very happy. The family number two were very happy to get over out of the lake on the bank next to where the alpacas were. Very close. Very close. So they're obviously comfortable and at home. So the youngsters are starting to get more familiar with being around the alpacas. We did have a little traffic jam one day when the both families were trying to come in through the gate into the field. That didn't quite work. So they went back. And about it. One of the alpacas was trying to come through at the time, and she got a bit stuck. So she kind of, and she spoke alpaca to the family of geese. I'm not a threat. I'm not a threat. She turned her head away. She stood her ground and turned away, which was the kind of the way of saying, I'm not a threat. I'm just going to stand here. I'm not a threat. I'm not a threat. There was a bit of hissing going on. She then hurried out of the way. And the log jam, the traffic jam in the gate was resolved. Alpaca through, geese went back out the other way. So this interaction with these youngsters is quite fun. And the other bits and pieces of birds around, a lot of activity, and it's delightful. And it's very definitely advancing towards spring. Now, it's been quite warm. It's almost been summer-like. At times we've had really hot and then it's cooled down and then it's kind of warming up again. Lake's starting to go down. There's not as much. We haven't had any rain. A little bit of dampening, you know, literal dampening going on, but not very much for very long. So that was the last little while we've had these two families of geese. These two-handed jobs are a challenge because a lot of the time I'm just on my own doing the things. So they need planning, they need organising, and flexibility, I think, is a good word to apply to keeping alpacas in general, but particularly when you've got a job like that that needs doing. So I've been keeping an eye on some of the alpacas have been getting hot, and I've been putting more water out in the feed bowls, particularly the wide ones. I've been topping up the water in there so they can drink, but also so they can have a little paddle. Sometimes they do. They still like the water buckets best for standing in. It doesn't just cool their heels. It comes up to their knees or thereabouts. And they quite enjoy that. So, and the boys have been tipping over their water occasionally. That's a bit more of a challenge. So the water level on the tank up there is going down. And we probably have to do some carrying around with containers and the tractor. And that's just how it is. And I guess we're nowhere near the heat of the summer yet. But we'll do what we can to keep the supply of water going there, and moving towards forming my list, at least in my head, of who gets sheared first. And we're getting towards that. We've got things in place now. We've got all the sharpened combs and cutters back, and we're all back in place, ready for that. Probably, I'm still watching the temperature at night. It's a bit cooler again. And then it's going to settle. So that's probably in the next week or so, probably a good time to be thinking about shearing. And that's definitely a two-person job, if not more. But if you have too many people, it's complicated. But so soon I sort of gear up for that. And we'll just, because we can do it ourselves, then we'll pace ourselves. And go by temperature and the weather, etc. But we can do as many as we can do, and then we can stop. And it's not quite the same as having a team come in when they're booked a year in advance or whatever. And it's you just got to go with whatever is there at the time. And with the eye trimming, the fleece around the face, around the eyes, I managed to take up these little shears up to the boys as well. It was last week, and that was useful to have just cleared off. It does make a difference. Saren, when I'd cleared the fleece off today, she was very quickly back into the food and very clear and what she was doing there. And continuing then with eating the grass. She was really going for it. And it was just obstructing her view a little bit too much. So it was good to have done that. And I'm now kicking myself that I should have done it earlier, which, well, there we are. I thought we might have got to the shearing by now, but obviously not quite yet. Close. Soon. The girls have definitely got into the routine now of where they sleep and where they spend their time at night. At the far end of the lake, we've got the slope coming up from the lakeside. And there's quite a lot of longer grass and rushes and stuff that they really like that. I think it's quite cool. And they like to kind of brush themselves in that. But they all start off in a kind of a group, come a row. They start off in a single row, but they kind of spread out a bit on the path next to the lake. And I'm looking at where they are, and they're probably in that damp patch. There's kind of an oozing happening from the soil. I thought it was coming from a bit under the trees where the water tends to gather. But no, there's no water up there. I went and poke around. There's no water up there at all. It's all dried out. But it's coming out of the bank itself. But it's really, really damp and soggy, and it's probably cool. So that's where they tend to gather. And then they have a little routine of going a bit further, then crossing the ford area, and then coming round. Sometimes they'll come straight back, and other times they'll go up onto the terraced area. It's a nice field, nice bit of grazing up there. But they work their way back, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I've got time to do something because the girls are not here. They're not back for their breakfast. And then they suddenly appear, as if by magic. Of course, if it starts to rain, then they hurry their way back much more quickly. And there was an afternoon where it was really warm, a little bit of a breeze. It was really nice, actually, in the stable. It was coming in from the north, and it was just in the shade, but also fresh because of the wind. They're pretty good at working out what they want, what is comfortable and convenient for their needs. And I still am amazed that some of them will sit in the goose yard there in the sun, full sun, in the middle of what to me would be a hot spot. And others will be tucked in the stable in the shade. And it's been much more evident this year that they've been grouping themselves. They've been doing things that suit them as individuals much more. They're quite relaxed. They're a loose grouping. They're not feeling threatened. They're not feeling in need of being tightly bunched together. Just occasionally you'll get something that that triggers it. What was that? Was that a squirrel? Was that a sheep? Was that a, who knows? But they're kind of watching, and there's a little bit of alarm calling going on. And sometimes you know, and sometimes you don't. And there's been a number of those things where they're all looking in the same direction. I've got no idea what they've seen or what they're looking at. And I watch for a bit just to make sure there's no threat, but it's fine. But just occasionally that's been happening. But generally they're not all together. Some will be on this side, some will be in the stable, some will be over there. And it's nice to see, because I think it's expressing something of them being relaxed. It's not that they're withdrawing and being off by themselves. It's just they're in smaller groupings and they're choosing what environment they would prefer to be in, what temperature or shade or sun they particularly want at this particular time. And they're pretty good at working out what they need, what they want. And they're busy, busy with the grass and the grazing. And then they'll find a nice spot to sit. They're usually a little bit higher up where they've got a view, a little bit higher on the slope. And then they can look across and they just feel a bit more protected by their position. And they'll chew the cud, which they do very nicely. That figure of eight movement of the jaw, the swallow down and everything. It's a little bit hidden at the moment because they're just in full fleece. And it's much more obvious going up and down the neck. Mouthful, whoop, there is a little movement in the abdomen. Up comes this mouthful and where they start chewing again. And it's much more evident once we've sheared them, because you can see it moving up and down the neck. A little bolus of food. And chew, 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 and away it goes back down. So a lot of this food, of course, is feeding the bacteria, the gut biome, feeding the bacteria and that kind of stuff. And that's what then is giving the feed to further down the system, the digestive system. So it's interesting how that has developed and how that's particularly suited for their feeding habits and the environment that they're used to in the high plains in South America. The low plains here in South Wales are different, but they seem to manage very well. We will be finishing off doing the preparations. We've got the bags, we've got the sharpening of the combs and cutters has been done. We'll have to do some labels, and we'll work out what we're going to do with those and get those updated and printed off, ready to stick on the bags. And then we can sort the fleece as we go. We can take our time and just get some decent stuff. Sue's been doing a lot of work with cleaning, picking, and then cleaning, washing it, the fleece, and then processing it. Oh, we got a new toy. a new tool. It's a size up from the carding machine that we had, hand-driven, it's not motorized. But we've got another machine that we're also going to be looking at as a roller for felting, but we'll update you on that the next time round, I think. So we've got all these things that we're still moving forward with, and the product from alpacas primarily is fleece and what you do with it. So we're still working on the proof of concept and getting through the stuff that we've got and making some lovely things out of the felt that we make from the fleece. So if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. Take care. See you again soon.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.